Good morning, everybody, and welcome. Today is Tuesday, June 17th, 2008. I want to say welcome to everybody and to this one-of-a-kind event that you will not find anywhere else. And for the thousands of you who will later listen to this recording, you are all in for a treat. I am Ali Rodriguez, business coach specialist and passionista expert, helping turn passion into profits many clients at a time. My special guest star, and yes, she is star in her own right, world-renowned author of the best-selling book Coaching Millions and number one provider of business tools for coaches and, if I may add, consultants and entrepreneurs, the one and only Miss Milana Lechinsky. Welcome, Milana.
I feel like there's got to be some music in the background.
Well, this is going to be my opening when I take you to Donny Deutsch.
There you go.
I want to be there.
Well, it's great to be here. Thank you for inviting me, Ali.
My pleasure. I'm excited that today we're going to be talking about something that is also needed for all of us, which is how can we really blend the passion for what we do and profits so we can attain our ultimate lifestyle success. And I do want to tell our audience, all of those listening now and later, that Milana will give us tips and observations as to what is happening in the industry of coaching, consulting, and entrepreneurship, and how you can benefit by following some of her techniques and business model applications so that you can attain your ultimate lifestyle success. Knowing Milana now for a couple of years and buying her books and attending her telesummits and being a fan, actually, of Milana, I know that her main focus is in helping others attain exactly what they want in a very succinct, structured, and wonderful way. So, Milana, are you ready?
I am ready. Let's get it on the road.
All right. So my first question to you is, what role does passion play in the success of coaching business owners today?
Well, I think it plays a tremendous role for any business owner in any business. And the reason is that sometimes you see successful people and you want to model what they do, and you start looking at their strategies and their actions and whatever you see on the front end, because actually that's all you can see. Everything else is behind the scenes. And you start modeling that, and something is not clicking. And it's not working for you as well as it worked for that other person. And what happens is a great disalignment between the business model and the strategies that you implement in your business and your level of passion around those strategies and those models. And I think that's where the disconnect happens. And ultimately, just because you follow someone else's steps does not result, it doesn't have to result in the same outcome. And another reason that passion is so important is that if you truly are passionate about something that you're doing, you can do it for a longer period of time. You can also be much more patient while you are building this thing, whatever it is you're building in your coaching business. And even if you don't see the financial benefits right away, you are still doing it because you're so passionate about it. I mean, that's exactly why I stuck it out for a year without making a penny in my business, because I would probably be doing this even if I wasn't getting paid. It wouldn't be very smart. I wouldn't have anything to make a living with, but I'm so passionate about what I do that even if something does not work, I still enjoy every day of my life because I love it so much. So I think it gives your business longevity. I always like to use Michael Gerber's example, the author of The E-Myth, mm-hmm. that while he was struggling in his business and everybody around him was holding their breath to see when he files for bankruptcy, he never quit. And that those are exactly his words. I just never quit. I never gave up. And I guarantee you that the reason for that is because he just didn't see another way of living, another way of life. That was his passion, his business. If it was something that he didn't enjoy and it ended up in causing him so much financial trouble, oh, he would be out of that business in a heartbeat. So that's where passion really plays a major role.
This is so profound. Actually, I did not know that about Michael Gerber, but you hit on a key word here, which is longevity. And it's very true, because passion, it is what fuels us every day to continue to do what we're doing. So there is a tremendous amount of profoundness to the light that you just shed in here. It is the very thing that keeps us running. And would you say, Milena, that also this kind of modality applies perhaps even more specifically to franchise owners?
It's tricky with franchise owners. You know, I've always wondered why some people buy franchises and other people start their own businesses, and there's a major difference. And actually, again, Michael Gerber gets into that. If you don't read Michael Gerber, you're absolutely missing out on some of the most wise business lessons that have ever been published. But what he's basically saying is that an entrepreneur has a need to create, to innovate, to develop, to break the rules. A franchise owner is the opposite. They need more stability. When they buy a franchise, they are ultimately buying a job for themselves. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is their job. They are in control of it, but they are ultimately buying a job. Whether you need passion or not, absolutely. For anything that you expect to succeed with, no question about that. But the outcome of you owning a franchise or a franchise-like business and owning a business that you created from the ground up, the outcome is going to be different, of course.
Absolutely. What do you think is the most important thing that any one of us can do to actually blend our passion and profits? Is there one thing that you can say, this is what you need to look at,
right,
to make it click?
I think that years ago, what was true is that to start a business, to build a business, you need to sacrifice and compromise. Today, I believe that we don't need to do any of that. And we will still work hard, but if you love what you do, you won't feel like you're working. So I always tell people, I work 30 hours a week. Whether it's true or not, I have a very blurry line between work and not work. Because even when I'm driving to pick up my daughter from summer camp, I'm listening to my iPod, and it's not music. It's someone else's business teleseminar that I recorded and never had a chance to listen, so I'm listening to that. Am I working? I don't know. My mind is working, coming up with new ideas. Am I loving it? Absolutely. Am I forcing myself to do that just because someone else said that I should? No, not at all.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of, I have a very blurry line between what I do as you would consider work and not work. But I think that making a decision to only get involved in projects and strategies and business models that are aligned with you and your ultimate goals is very important. Otherwise, you'll end up building something that you don't want to run. And I've been there. I've been there at different levels. So I had a coach who was coaching me to build something that, would have a certain number of members and that I would deliver a certain number of coaching calls and coaching sessions. And for whatever reason, I just couldn't get it to go, you know. I'm used to the idea that when I start something, it usually works. It's not a magic touch. It's just sometimes, or most of the time, I choose projects that I'm really passionate about. But this was someone else's idea. This was someone else's advice and passion was given to me. And I said, okay, well, it makes sense And even though it felt a little heavy in my heart and on my schedule, I went on with it. And a year later, when I realized that, okay, well, my desired number of members that I wanted to have in my membership project is only a fraction in reality. Why is that? And that was because I was really not passionate about that, and it did not make it just not something that fit my lifestyle, my personality. I was not excited about it. So make sure you're not building someone else's dream. That's, I think it's very important that it should come from you. And if you're working with a coach, a good coach will not tell you, do this, do this, do this, do that. A good coach will first make an attempt to help you discover what you love doing, to bring to the front your core skills, knowledge, and passion, and then build your business around it, help you build your business around it. It just doesn't work otherwise. Otherwise, you're building someone else's ideas, and sooner or later, you realize that it's not congruent with who you are, what you want to build, and it just won't work. It'll be a dread in the end.
In other words, also bring to the table the experience that you already have, not somebody else's inference of their own experience. That's what you're saying, correct?
And personality. I mean, everybody is different. You can't build something that someone else is building just because they have succeeded with that. That's why, you know, anytime you go to events and people sell you programs and packages and they tell you, this is how I reached $1 million, or this is how I got 30 clients, it may or may not work for you because you may have a different skill set and goals.
And way of being.
Exactly, and way of being, yeah.
Wow.
So I call that an X factor. In fact, if you've read my new coaching manifesto, if you haven't, take a look at newcoachingmanifesto.com. I talk about the X factor, that you can be doing everything right. You can model people precisely, their system. But unless you understand the U factor, the X factor, it may not be all aligned in your business. And I do that very well with my clients, actually. Everything I teach them is not a rigid system where you just have to follow the process.
Mm-hmm.
It allows you to pick and choose and make a decision what your best abilities are, and that works best. That seems to work really good.
That's awesome, because we all have our own quirks, and part of being the brilliance of who we are is actually working with our own quirks.
Right.
And allowing to grow from there. It was something that I found very interesting in your book when you talk about the habitat, the coaching habitat. Would you mind touching on that just for a moment? Because I love reading about
right.
it.
Well, it's almost like it's definitely a play on words. You know, a habitat has an environment with all the elements and components that create that habitat. And if something's out of alignment, the wrong soil or not enough light or no existing vegetation, I like to use that analogy, then the process will not work, or the speaking more in business terms, your bottom line will not reflect your efforts. So I talk about coaching habitat so that you can create a perfect environment for your business to grow with you in the center of it, in the core of it. And you're creating your coaching habitat based on the ideal market that you want to work with, the ideal solutions that you want to and are able to develop for them, to make sure that someone else has created similar solutions so that you're not entering a brand new market, to make sure that there is enough light or enough venues to market yourself, to bring your solutions to the market. So if there are no existing channels for you to become visible in your market, it's going to be very difficult to market yourself. So it's another way, the way I talk about coaching habitat, it's just another more analogy way for me to describe what a niche market is, and that a niche alone does not necessarily guarantee success, but in the combination with other factors that you need to understand, will absolutely increase your chances of creating a highly profitable business. You know, things like timing, pricing, existing joint venture partners that are that have already built a database of potential clients for you that you can tap into. So all of these components, and again, Allie, that's mentioned in my book, and this would be the best $15 you'll ever spend if you are running a coaching business. Coachingmillions.com will get you a copy of that book. But I think that that is the foundation of every business. In fact, I made a decision that I'm simply not able or willing to work with coaches who do not want to specialize. I don't think that there is a way for a coach who chooses to stay generic and general and broad to succeed on a low marketing budget. I mean, unless you are Coke or, you know, Donny Deutsch, who has a great marketing budget to reach people on TV, in magazines, on the internet. Very difficult to market a coaching business that is generic. So that's all I'm going to say about niche. I think we beat that topic to death.
Yeah, but you know what? Some things are worth repeating, and of course I encourage and urge everyone listening not to walk but to run to Milana's coachingmillions.com and get the book, because the book is such an eye-opener. And you know, I read it the first time, and I kept on going back to different chapters and then rereading it again, and it's like gave me more, you know, and I'm sure you're working on a second one, if not a third one, because I, knowing you, I'm pretty sure.
How well do you know me, Allie? Yes, definitely.
It's got to see your blood. I mean, you're on fire. It's like, what is that old saying? Life is not about who's going to let me, but who's going to stop me. And that's you. Nobody can stop you. So this is just such a delight, because the habitat is it's something that really got to me, and it's something that I try to teach other coaches and clients, and once they get it, they have their aha moments, and it's just so super important people really understand that. And that goes for consultants as well. It's not just for coaches. If people actually, any business owner, big or small, sometimes they need to really go back to basics and think about or actually think about of what was I thinking, you know? And that is really, that's so valuable, it's priceless.
Right.
What do you see as the biggest opportunities available to coaches right now in this year that we're in?
You know, I think that coaching is a very fluid or liquid field in the way that it's going right now. And I think that coaching is being split into being a profession and being an extension of someone's expertise. And I wrote about it on my blog at newcoachingmanifesto.com/blog. And hopefully you're taking notes of these links so you could post them for people.
I am.
Allie. But the whole idea of coaching as a profession has come to prove that it's very difficult to build a business or even a practice for that matter where you just see clients or you talk to clients all the time. It's very difficult to build a business in coaching if you see coaching as a standalone business, as a standalone activity.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be congruent with other things that you do or other things that you possess, such as your expertise. It needs to ride on it. Your expertise and your background and your past accomplishments make you so much more valuable to your clients. And yet, most coaches don't want to do that. They don't want to say, okay, I've accomplished this, therefore, I will focus on becoming the best possible coaching expert in this area. They don't do that. They believe that if they're a coach, they can coach anybody on anything. And while that's true, that's not extremely difficult to build a business that way. So I believe that right now, if you are building a coaching business as a standalone practice, such as a therapy practice, a family therapist practice, without any other ways to, without any other, background or foundation to fall back on, it's going to be very difficult. And what do I mean by that? You know, in practical terms, create products. Create products that where you can document and inspire your past experiences, whatever your accomplishment, your biggest accomplishment has been. Have you had the same husband for 20 years? That's an accomplishment today. How did you do that?
Yes.
You know, have you raised 4 children? I guarantee you that there are women who are struggling with that and who would love some coaching on that. Chances are they would love to talk to you, but until they see that you have accomplished something successfully and that all of your 4 children went on to become doctors, lawyers, entrepreneurs, successful individuals, they may not be compelled enough to work with you. So that's where products come into play. So I strongly believe that if you are to succeed in coaching today, you need to understand that coaching is the extension of your expertise. Now, if you read the discussion, the comments that people have been posting on my blog about this, again, newcoachingmanifesto.com/blog, you'll see about 22 comments right now. You'll see that people disagree. And take a look at what they believe coaching really is and why they disagree that coaching is an extension. And I bet that there are some people on the call right now or listening to this recording who disagree with me as well. But the question I want to ask you is, how has it been working for you? How have you succeeded doing things the way you've been doing? And if your answer is yes, please don't stop. Because if it's working for you, you know, you don't want to fix what's not broken. But if you've been struggling and you're not sure why, take a look at this concept that coaching is an extension of your expertise. A lot of coaches invest a lot of money into coach training. They come out of coach training and they say, I am a brand new coach. I'm going to coach clients. A client looks at that and says, have you achieved what I want to achieve? And the coach will probably say, well, no, but I can help you as a client, and I've been on both sides as a client and as a coach. I can tell you that I'm not impressed. I want to work with a person who has done it, whether it's life coaching, career coaching, business coaching, or a person who, even if they haven't done it, has a very strong background in studying it, in creating success stories. So you have some great testimonials of people who you can say, you know, this person has gotten a promotion within 90 days after they started working with me. That's a very powerful case. Okay? So even if you have never done that, but you've helped others do that, you need to put that into spotlight. But unfortunately, many coaches do not have such strong testimonials as what I just quoted. Most coaches have very, quote-unquote, vanilla testimonials where instead of giving specific results, their clients simply say, oh, I loved working with Jane. She was such a wonderful listener, and every time I would talk to her, I would feel much better about something that bothered me that week or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's nice. It's maybe worth $300 a month, But if your goal is to build a profitable coaching business, you better have some strong case of either success stories or your own success story in something. So that's all I'm going to say about that. And I would suggest that you take a look at the comments that people are posting and just think about it. If however you do your business is working for you, great. Don't change a thing. If you're struggling, think about what I just said.
Yeah, I'll tell you something. Yeah, I went to your site now, and I see some of the comments, and those of you on the line and or listening to this later, please do so at newcoachingmanifesto.com/blog. It's amazing some of the things that are going on. And it's also a time, and it seems with some of the coaches and some of the consultants and entrepreneurs that I come across, that there is that side of fear. You hear the word economy coming up, and it's like, all right, already, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just focus on what all else do we need to be doing differently, because maybe time has come to make some changes, because everything in life is about effecting changes in ourselves as we do others. And I hear that, and I hear their pain. And then my question to you is, especially on the new coaches coming on board into this field that don't have the experience yet, and they already get the fact that saying, I went to coaching training school for a year, it's not what they need to do. And once they understand that they have a business to build,
mm-hmm.
What would be the very first thing that you'd say to them, and you want to kind of shake them up and say, listen, what would that be?
Right. You know, I had a client last year, a short-term client, but very memorable because of what I'm about to tell you. He built a very successful IT company, software company, but he decided to get out of this field and start coaching other IT companies, other startups.
Mm.
And he said, well, you know, I'm just starting out, so I'm going to be charging $2,500 a month.
Ouch!
And I thought to myself, you know, what makes this person believe in himself and have the confidence to say that I'm going to be charging $2,500 a month? And when I really thought about it, I realized that he does not see himself truly as a newbie, as a starting, as a coach who is just starting out. Again, I have to go back to that idea that he sees that himself as
experience.
He's got the experience. His clients want his expertise, and they want him to guide them to the same success that he has achieved or has helped others achieve. So I would say again that coaching should be the extension of your expertise. So if you are coming out and you are a brand new coach, and you look at yourself and you say, well, I'm a brand new coach, of course you're going to charge people $300 a month or $400 a month. But if you ask yourself, what have been my past accomplishments that people have come to me to get advice about? What am I really proud of? What have I overcome? And I give, again, examples in my book that, there are a few things that I did, and Allie, we have something in common. You know, I came to the States when I was 19, didn't know English, took a three-month course before I left, decided to continue my music career here, and lost my passion. So all of a sudden, I had to make a decision between pursuing music education or doing something else. And I went into business and computers and internet and web design. I'm very proud of that. That's one of my biggest accomplishments. I was afraid of computers like you wouldn't believe. Because I've never seen a computer until I was 23.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, we didn't have computers back in the former Soviet Union. So the first time I saw that, I said, what's this? You know, I never seen a thing called a computer, even though in America they've been out there for years, for decades by that time. So that's one of the accomplishments that I feel very proud and lucky to have overcome and accomplished. Another thing is that I was able to quit my job when I felt that my pain has become greater than my fear. You know, my pain of not being able to stay home with my daughter became bigger than my fear of not having enough money to survive. That's when I quit my job. And I think a lot of women can relate to that. A lot
mm-hmm.
of mothers can relate to that. And some never take the leap. Some
mm-hmm.
stay at work and don't find a way for some reason to quit their jobs because, you know, they love their jobs. They want to make the money. They don't want to give up, especially if they're in high-level positions. That's another accomplishment. Again, so I'm kind of giving you a little bit of a side note backstory here, but each of you here has something like that in your lives, whether it's relationship-related, career, parenting, some major transition, or even a professional skill. I mean, I have somebody in my program right now who works with quality managers in companies. How does she know how to do that? I have no idea. I mean, something in her background. I have somebody else who knows how to work with expats, people who live and work abroad. How does she know how to do that? Well, she is an expat herself, and she dealt with all of these challenges personally. So again, at that point, you no longer feel like you are starting out.
Mm-hmm.
You're simply repositioning and repurposing your expertise into coaching. So I think it's a matter of a mindset, how you approach. You're not a newbie. You were not just born yesterday. Trust me, you got so much knowledge and wisdom to offer to other people. And the whole idea that you were attracted to the coaching as a career would tell me that you love working with people. You love helping them transform their lives. It's just a matter of applying it properly in the right areas of their lives and careers.
That's profound. I'm just curious, how is the IT coach doing nowadays? I hope you stay in touch with him.
I have no idea. I'll be honest with you. This was a very short-term client. But I do know that he ended up developing a membership community for startup companies. So again, he didn't go out and say, I'm going to look for clients. No, he went and developed solutions to attract a community of startup owners and work with them through things like funding, team building, and so on. So I don't really know how he's doing right now, but the fact that he approached his business and his own persona, you know, his own image as a coach from a non-newbie perspective was a great example that I was able to use today, because a lot of coaches who do it this way succeed much faster. If you look at any successful coach right now and you ask yourself, how did they become successful? Chances are there's a 90% chance that they have built it on something they've done in the past. Maybe they've had a sales career and now they work with salespeople. Maybe they've been a manager or a parent or a career counselor in high school, and they've built on that. Imagine a career, what do you call these? You know, like a high school counselors who work with kids before they graduate and help them make their career decisions and life decisions. Are these new coaches? No.
Yep.
They've coached mm-hmm.
all their lives.
All their lives, but now they are doing it differently. They may be doing it more privately as an entrepreneur. So you don't want to think about yourself as a newbie because you have not just been born a few days ago. You really have a wealth of knowledge and expertise that you've acquired through your life that you want to look at.
This is a great take, and I'm so grateful that you're sharing this with us, because it's almost like taking ownership. You own up to your own experiences.
Exactly. You take ownership, yeah.
And that is so important. And a lot of people kind of shy away because they don't feel like perhaps they even have the right especially with gender specific coaches that I'm, you know, they may come into the arena with the, I'm not good enough, I'm still a newbie. And like you said, that newbie mindset needs to be changed to, hey, I'm owning up to my expertise, I'm owning up to my experiences, I know how to do this, that, and the other, and this is my own success stories, and build from there. So that is absolutely not only profound, but that is everybody listen up, because this is one of your key words, elements in here, and a tool to start looking at yourself from a different angle, and a much easier way to say, hey, this is what I'm worth and this is what I'm charging, which that in itself is another story.
Yeah.
when it comes for people, for coaches to say, this is what I'm charging. I mean, your IT guy was brilliant when he said $2,500 and that's it, that's what I'm charging.
Right.
The minute he owned up to his own expertise. That is great. What niches do you see popping up, or specialties, I should say, do you see emerging for coaches in the next 12 months, or after we elect the president, I should say? Whichever comes first, the chicken and the egg. Every time I hear the story about the chicken and the egg, I said, so where's the rooster? So,
right.
And so, you know, it
let me get my crystal ball.
I know.
You know, the niche markets that have always been kind of prevailing are career coaching, business coaching, as a general rule.
Mm-hmm.
But there are so many others. I think that especially with increased unemployment right now, chances are that more people will be looking at starting their home businesses or their own businesses, you know, their small business opportunities. And I think that business coaching will definitely expand, specifically in the small business area.
Mm-hmm.
People who are reevaluating their jobs, their careers, may go into two different directions, starting a business or changing their career. So I think that now more than ever, career coaching is going to be stronger than before. And of course, you know, there are things like evergreen.
Yes.
Parent coaching is evergreen.
Yes.
I'm always inspired by people who raised successful children because I'm a parent. I want to know how they did it, how they inspired and motivated their children. I buy a whole lot of products and books, and I always watch shows, and there's a guy whose name is Troy Dunn. I always recommend him because he's teaching how to raise a young entrepreneur. He has a book out called Young Bucks. Troy Dunn was on Donnie Deutsch's show, and I just was, finally somebody wrote a book, How to Raise a Millionaire.
Oh, I love it.
Yes, How to Raise a Millionaire. And that information is evergreen. And I think that the longer I stay in business, the more I appreciate and understand the value of evergreen products and programs. Some things that don't depend on today's technology or today's latest tools and trends, but rather timeless.
In other words, you dictate the market. The market doesn't dictate you.
Exactly. So one of the first products I ever created, I made that mistake. Now, would I take it back? No, because it helped me get where I am today. But one of the mistakes I made is that I created a product that taught people how to create their website, but not just a website, a website using a particular software program. And, you know, by the time I was finished with that product, they came out with another version. And by the time a year passed, they had two more versions. So when people would buy my product 3 years from that point, they would say, Milana, isn't your product like 10 years old? I'd say, no, it's only 10 years. They've just been releasing a version after version.
Oh, Lord.
So that was my biggest mistake. And still people were buying it because it was trendy and it was relevant at that time. Am I selling this product today? No. I stopped selling it years ago. Will I be selling Coaching Millions Years from now, absolutely.
Yes.
I will do some revisions. I will do some updates. But the information in it is evergreen because it's based on timeless business principles of business, success, and relationships. Those are the types of programs and products you want to create. And what I noticed, you know, I'm a big fan of antique self-growth books. So I have some books from 1891 written about success. You know, very thick, very old, very smelly book. I'm reading it. I'm thinking, wow, not much has changed. We had three wars or four wars since then. You know, people died, people were born, culture changed, technology changed, and information about how people achieve goals has not changed. How amazing is that? And it's all over, it's been over 100 years since 1891. So if you think about what you're developing, I would suggest that you look at it from the timeless perspective. What is going to be true today that's also going to be true in 10 years? These are the types of programs, when you put yourself in that mindset, that are going to be most valuable to your customers because there is long-term value in it. So if I teach you how to use Camtasia, which is a video software, you can probably create videos with it, work with your clients and help your clients do something with it, or use it for marketing purposes. But as soon as another software comes out, it's going to become outdated and you will no longer want my product. But if I teach you how to build a business where your income does not depend on you, and I use strategies like multiple income streams, creating a dream team, building a 20-hour work week, using certain principles that I've established in my business, that is timeless. So I can sell that over and over again, and my clients also feel greater value in this information. So they're willing to invest more money with me because they know that there are long-term benefits from participating in a coaching program like that.
It's forever, and that's it's what forever. Keeps them, yeah, it's like the Energizer Bunny.
Right.
Which keeps them going and going and going. This makes so much sense, and people really needed to hear this, especially the younger generation that is coming to many of the arenas of different coaching mindsets. What role do you feel play when we make decisions in this day and age, the intuition versus intellectual decisions? In your case, for example, what do you pay more attention to when you have to make the major decisions? How do you find that balance? Because we all have that little voice that talks, you know, it's hard to keep it quiet.
It's interesting. You know, I run a CD of the Month Club where I interview people who have earned their first $1 million. And one of the questions I ask them is, how do you make difficult decisions? What are some of the most difficult decisions you've made where it would make or break your business? You know, strategic decisions, whether to go into another market or to add another product or to bring a new person on the team, these kind of decisions. And the answers I'm getting are, you know, there is no right or wrong decision when you are running a business such as coaching, because the decision is between a good one and a good one. Now, if you were running a really big company and your mistakes could be costing, you know, millions of dollars, that's very different. But, you know, when you're running a small business and your mistakes are not as costly, then your decisions are between just going one way or going another way. They're not that crucial, and I think that a lot of people are afraid to make decisions either way, because they are afraid to make a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that a good answer for me to use here is that I use intuition based on experience, on past experience. So if I'm not sure which way to go, I'll ask myself, what has happened in the past when I did something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Has it worked for me? So right now I'm branching out into a new market. And, you know, on one hand, it would mean that I need to start traveling and speaking and meeting, you know, large audiences. And that just doesn't fit my lifestyle. But I would say, okay, I'm going to do that because I have to do that, right? It still didn't sit with me right. And so today, earlier, I had a conversation with my coach, and I shared with her that it didn't feel right to me. I really, that's where the passion comes through. I would not have the passion to be constantly traveling. Even if it's once a month, that's a whole weekend out of my life and out of my children's life that I would not be here. So I was trying to make a decision to reach the market without necessarily being on the road, without having to speak to large audiences. And so I came up with an idea of writing articles and publishing them in major magazines and reaching my audience that way. Okay, so that was a strategic decision. And my intuition has helped me make that decision because it just didn't feel right the other way around. It just didn't sit with me well. So, and intuition in business comes with experience. Intuition in life comes with experience, right?
It does. And to some people, they have that voice that is very loud from a very early age. I'm always amazed at those people that I go, how did that happen? You know, I'd like to know how that developed, because those are the ones that they know to listen first. For some of us late bloomers, if you will, it's something that has come from experience, and each time it seems that when we ignore it, it's ouch.
Right.
This is awesome. At what point, depending on the gross revenue, obviously, of a coaching business, did you feel it's time for a coach with a team of coaches to no longer operate out of a home-based environment, or perhaps start thinking of either leasing a building or even buying a building? Is it a good time now to buy a building?
Are you, like, reading my mind, Allie?
Oh, shoot, I do have a crystal ball, but I don't have it in my office right now.
I'm actually in the process of buying a building right
now.
Oh,
my goodness.
That's why I thought, how did you know? How
could
you possibly know?
No idea.
I have to tell you, again, in my interviews with these people that I do for the Mastering Your First Million, some of them do not have a building. They still work out of their homes. And it's a very personal decision. For some, it's important to have a local team that they train and work with.
Uh-huh.
And in that case, they make a decision to invest into a building, or, you know, rent a building or rent an office outside of their home. For others, they are building entirely virtual teams, so it doesn't make sense for them to do anything else. You know, one of the reasons that I want to invest is because I've been wanting to invest into real estate anyway. And when I saw this office building that could make a great investment and a way for me to maybe add a local person to my team, it just kind of fell into places and made sense for me. But it's a very personal decision. I don't think there's a way where you grow out of your home office. It's you grow out of it mentally, and you say, okay, you know, I'd love to maybe either feel a little more professional or have a place to meet clients. Or like a guy by the name of Tom Antion, he built a retreat center in Virginia.
Oh, yes.
And, you know, I don't know if he he probably works there as well. I don't know how much time he spent there, but he has invested into a retreat center. So now people who are his clients can come and be trained and coached by him. So he had a different vision and a different purpose for getting that resort center, retreat center in place. So a very personal decision, looking at your goals, that's where you really need to ask yourself, can an office enhance my business, or will it be an expense, a pure expense to me?
But you already bought the building, right?
I'm negotiating as we speak.
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe I asked that question.
No, me neither. I thought you read something that I shared, or?
Yeah. Yeah, I just know that the coaching industry, if you know what you're doing, and this is what this call is all about, really, it's blending the passion that you have for what you do and profits. And I know it's exploding, and a lot of people may tell you differently, but I don't concur. I just know that the coaching industry is exploding. And in order for us to continue to feed it, we have to think outside the box. We got to start thinking bigger than who we are and what we do.
Right.
And part of that, and also we need to start thinking globally. And part of that entire thought process includes buildings. To me,
yes.
It's like, duh, how can you not?
Yep.
So that part of my question was, is this a good time? I was just taking it for granted that you were already looking into it. So.
I am. I have been for a year. Just
oh, Lord. This is too funny. So you're in the process of negotiating, but see, this to you seems like, even though you're taking your time and you should, it seems like a natural process for you.
Yes.
Does it,
yes.
You know, it feels right for you.
Yeah.
Oh, that is awesome. This is just, I'm so excited for you. Now you're getting invited. I'll come up. I'll do something. I got to go take a look at it. Oh, my Lord. This is just awesome. Yeah, I want to ask you how many square feet and all that kind of stuff, but that's none of my business for now. I'm just...
I'll tell you later.
I'm sure, because now excitement is getting the best of me with this. And wasn't Ramon Williamson also who actually had a retreat in Virginia Beach or something to that effect?
No, what he was doing is he was renting a house, a beach house right on the beach, and inviting his clients for a coaching weekend.
Ah, but Tom Antion was the one who actually bought the property.
He actually, I think, either built from scratch or rebuilt an existing building to be a retreat center.
Oh, my God, that is awesome. See, that is a great idea, and that is a win-win-win for everybody. Oh, I love that. Mm-hmm. All right, and just one last question here that I want to ask you. I want you to build upon your coaching millions lifestyle business building system. What are some of the major benefits, why people should have it and have it now?
Well, I think that the biggest unique thing about my program and everything I do is that I built my business while raising two small children and having, you know, no business background and just coming from a whole different direction. I see a lot of people build their businesses, and if you watch their blogs and watch what they're doing, they'll say, oh, I stayed up till 2 a.m. last night so I could get this out. If you ever hear me say that, Allie, slap me, because I've never done that. I've never done that.
No.
I truly do run my business. If not on 30 hours a week, it is definitely no more than 40. And there are times that I don't even work every day, or, you know, right now it's summertime. I build my system and my business in a way that allows me to not feel stressed out when I do not work. I used to feel that way, and what I've done is I built systems in my business that allow my business to exist, run, and generate revenue without me. And that's the best feeling in the world. Going back to 2003, I shared with my database recently with my coaches is that the war, the U.S. went into Iraq in March of 2003. And I made $500 that month, and I panicked. I started applying for a job, and I didn't get the job. So I had to continue running my business, and, you know, in a month all turned around and people, life kind of went back to normal for the people in the U.S. at least. And that was very stressful. And what I, the things that I've done in my business since then, unless there is some major, major thing happening in the country or in the economy, I really don't feel, I don't feel the recession right now. I don't feel the slowdown that a lot of people are complaining about. So that's the unique part of my my system. And I have people who get attracted to my Coaching Millions program are the people who want to build a valuable business that works without them, with multiple income streams, with reoccurring income, with high-ticket products and programs where you are not the business. I think that's the major definition between a coach and a coaching entrepreneur who gets it. A coach is the business. A coaching entrepreneur is building and developing, you know, for the lack of better word, stuff that separates them from their business so the business can run without them. I used to worry, you know, what if something happens to me? I hold so much in my head and so much depends on me in my business. And I have to tell you, in the last 12 months, that has not been the case. I have a team, I have my dream team who make things happen, and that's what allows me to truly enjoy my business. And it all starts with your understanding and appreciation of your expertise in your niche market, and that's the first step that Coaching Millions program helps you identify, and not in the way that you learn in other places. It's really getting down to the bottom of not just is this a good market, but is this a good market for you? And then, you know, the whole program takes you through developing your intellectual property, your information products, your membership site, or continuity program like a coaching club, residual income sources. And most importantly, again, build a business that works without you. And I think that for any mom or anybody who stresses the word lifestyle, I think that's a godsend. And take a look at that. I mean, it may not be right for everyone. I've had people look at it and say, that's not the type of business I want to build, and that's fine. Well, people who are in the program, I have 9 people right now in the program, they are attracted to this kind of lifestyle, as was I.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, it pretty much has to resonate with those that get it, once they have that kind of clarity. And by the way, you have thrown a lot of clarity during this interview, that what is there to get and what is the it to get. And then once you get it, this is the next process. This is the next natural process to follow. And having your dream team, because I'm such an advocate of virtual assistants. I mean, I don't know what to do without them. And my question to you is, how many virtual people do you have in your dream team? Who what do they all do for you?
I have all virtual people right now. My dream is to have at least one local person to take care of my all the things that you just cannot take care of digitally, or you can't take care of virtually. But I have 2 coaches who are my associate coaches, and they work with my clients in my programs. I have a person who runs my Coaching Millions Club. I have a graphic designer. I have an accountant. And I have an event planner / coordinator. She does my entire Coaching Super Summit planning.
Wow.
Coming in October. I was talking to her yesterday night, and I always say to her, Audrey, I don't know what I would be doing without you. I just would not be doing events if it weren't for you. So having these people is tremendous. And, of course, I have 2 virtual assistants. So what is it, like 6-7 people on my team that do the things that either I don't know how to do, or things that I don't like to do, or things that are not in my most productive core expertise, In other words, these are the things that can be done by other people. And if I do them myself, it really eats up my time.
Yeah, it you need to be as free as a bird so that you can continue to serve your clients and those to come yet. And in building a dream team, it's you have to be so careful as to who you bring on board. But once you do have that, it's that's what the dream team is all about. It's almost like having a mini board of directors and that's the trick to it too, that they all have to be on the same page, that they want to see you shine. It's all part almost of the coaching mindset, because we're bunkers about our clients. We want their brilliance to shine and to shine in whatever way is best for them.
Right.
And with the dream team, it's the same thing. They have to want to have the same things for you as much as they would want it for themselves. And that is totally amazing. I'm glad that you have an accountant that is also virtual.
Yes. Well, he is virtual, but he's also local. I just don't like to, my husband used to drive and drop off the documents and all the receipts and, all of those accounting things. But now we just drop it off at the post office along with all the other stuff that needs to be shipped. And we never see him. Not that I care, but, it works out really nice. Ali, I have to go in a couple
Thank
of minutes.
You, no,
I want to make sure that I answered all your questions. And
You have been so generous, and I love you for it. You have enriched our lives beyond belief. And for that, Milana, I thank you so very much. Thank you
so much. And if anybody has questions that we have not touched on today, feel free to send me an email, milana@milana.com.
Yes, and I will be posting all of your different, especially your blog. For those of you listening right now, go to newcoachingmanifesto.com/blog, and it's going to be an eye-opener. Thank you, Milana,
so very much.
And
have a good week.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye. Does anybody have any questions before I close the line? Hi.